Please take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. If you were with us this morning, we began to consider the topic of Christian zeal. We looked at verse 11 of chapter 12. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. We considered some warnings, how we ought to not be slothful in zeal. We began to consider what true zeal is, and tonight we return to that topic one more time to open ourselves up to the Lord and what he calls us to in his word. There is an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that, but once again, let's give ear to the word of God. I'm going to begin reading at verse 3 of chapter 12, and I'll read down through verse 13, but again, our focus will be on verse 11 tonight. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and ask for his blessing. Our Lord, we do ask for you to bless us as we hear your word tonight. We know that your word has been breathed out by you and is useful for teaching, correction, reproof, training in righteousness, and thoroughly equipping us for every good work. And so, Lord, use your word to that end in us tonight. Lord, give us zeal even as we attend to your word. Zeal for you, zeal for your truth. The zeal of Jesus Christ by your spirit. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. This morning we saw that this means not cooling and slacking in our love for the Lord, not drifting, becoming lazy and coasting. We saw that that is a great temptation and danger. We also saw that false zeal is also a danger, zeal without knowledge. Surface zeal, fake zeal for men. We were warned about distancing ourselves from God, from his people. We were warned about unconfessed and unrepentant sin and how that crushes zeal. We were warned about misplaced zeal for this world, all of which can cause slothfulness and zeal. And we began to see that true zeal means being fervent in spirit, literally burning with an inner energy, a passion, a drive for the Lord. And tonight we want to continue looking at zeal. J.C. Ryle once said, "Zeal is a subject no reader of the Bible has any right to pass over. If we make the Bible our rule of faith and practice, we cannot turn away from it. We must look it in the face." And he goes on to define zeal as a burning desire to please God, to do his will, to advance his glory in the world in every possible way. And friends, this is the burning desire that you and I need, that the church needs, that we are called to. And this is why we need to be attentive yet again to what God says tonight in his word, which is this: do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. And as we can continue to consider that together tonight, I want to look at 5 points to help us further understand zeal. Where is zeal found? How do we practice it? How do we grow in it? What is its purpose? So I want us to first consider the producer of zeal. The producer of zeal. How is zeal produced? Where is it found? Well, it should be no surprise that the producer of zeal is God himself. God himself. You don't work this up in yourself. You can't produce genuine zeal for the Lord apart from the Lord. Zeal comes from knowing and trusting and being united to the God of zeal. In fact, it's produced in you by his zeal. Isaiah speaks of God's zeal. We heard this already tonight. God's zeal for his people, his zeal for sinners in salvation. And zeal comes from what God has done for you in the gospel. It's important to remember the call to zeal in Romans chapter 12. And we mentioned this briefly this morning, but the call to zeal here in Romans 12 comes after Romans 1 through 11, where Paul explains and proclaims the gospel in great detail. You can't be zealous without the gospel. You can't be zealous without the zeal of God to save you, a lost sinner, without his love to choose, without his zeal to choose you and love you, send his son to die for you, give you the gift of eternal life when all you had earned was death. This is what produces new life and new zeal in you. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "His divine power has granted to us all things for life and godliness." When he saves you by his zeal, he gives you a new heart. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He unites you to Jesus Christ, and that is how he works zeal in you. If you try to manufacture this zeal on your own, apart from knowledge of him, apart from faith in the gospel, true zeal is not going to be produced in you. And so go to the source. Look to the source. Depend upon God. Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, "The grace of God in salvation has come in part in order to make us his people who are zealous for good works." So if you find that you are slothful in zeal, you need to go to God. You need to go to the source. You need to be fueled by him, by the gospel, by his grace. Romans 16, verse 25 says, "God is able to strengthen you according to the gospel." God can strengthen you and work zeal in you by the gospel and by his grace. So don't look for any other source. Don't look for another producer and power and fuel for your zeal. Go to the Lord. I remember once when I was trying to impress my future wife, I thought I would impress her by making soup for her on a cold, windy day. We were out on Lake Erie, and I had my little backpacking stove, and so I lit it, and I turned up the flame and I put the soup on and I waited and I waited and the broth never boiled. It never got hot. I emptied the whole canister of fuel and I tried another one. I was getting desperate and I realized only later that it was the wrong kind of fuel. The fuel that I had made flame. It looked real. It looked like it was hot, but it really wasn't hot. It wasn't the right fuel. And so the soup was lukewarm. I must have impressed her some other way later on. But I think you get the point. When you use things as fuel in your life other than God, other than the gospel, you may create an outward flame, but you won't have true zeal, true warmth, the zeal that God is calling you to, real passion boiling for the Lord. So we need to get the right fuel if you want to think of it that way. We need to look to the Lord. It is God who produces this zeal in us. And so we need to look to him and his grace and be inflamed by his zeal for us in the gospel. We need to depend on his spirit who dwells in us to give us a fervor and a zeal in our spirit. Brothers and sisters, depend on the producer of zeal to work this zeal in you. But second tonight, you need to also look to and depend upon the power of the Prince of Zeal. Let's consider him second tonight, the Prince of Zeal. God's zeal in salvation was accomplished by sending his Son. And we read from Isaiah earlier tonight of God's promise to send salvation through his Son and how the zeal of the Lord of hosts would accomplish this. And we see this zeal in the life of Jesus Christ. And it's the zeal of Jesus to accomplish our salvation that empowers and motivates and exemplifies the zeal that you and I are to have. The disciples noticed this zeal in Jesus very early on in the book of John. In John chapter 2, verse 13 and following, Jesus cleansed the temple. He drove out the money changers. He overturned the tables. And he showed a zeal for his Father, a zeal for the temple, a zeal for true worship of God. And the disciples watched that, and they understood that Psalm 69, verse 9, was prophetically speaking of Jesus Christ. That psalm says, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And Jesus Christ was consumed with this zeal, a zeal for God's people, a zeal for the Lord and for his temple, a zeal for God's glory, a zeal for you and me, sinners who would become God's people, the spiritual temple. This zeal ultimately caused him to come to earth, to endure suffering, to withstand every temptation for us, to bear the weight of our sins, to go to the cross knowing fully the utter horror and pain and shame and misery and judgment that he would taste for us. This is how much he loved you. This was the passion and the zeal that he burned with for you, to save you. And that's why I've called him the Prince of Zeal. He is it. He is the real deal. If you want zeal, look to him. That is what it is. That's how it's done. That is where it's found. Hebrews 12, verses 2 through 3 says, "Run with endurance the race set before you, looking to Jesus." Looking to Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Brothers and sisters, consider his zeal, his suffering. When you grow weary and slothful and faint, look to Jesus Christ. And friends, you and I will grow weary. We will be slothful in zeal. You may have zeal now, but opposition will come. Monday morning always rolls around. There are discouragements. There will be sleepless nights. There will be pressures and temptations and sin, and you and I will drift towards slothfulness. And this is why we need to consider him. This is why we need to keep looking to Jesus Christ. Look to the most zealous one. Think of his sweat. Think of his tears, his drops of blood, his wounds, bearing your sins on the cross. Think of him when your zeal withers. And if he is your king and your savior, if you love him and trust him, if you are united to him, that will fuel and guide and empower your zeal. And so, brothers and sisters, know the Prince of Zeal. Look to the Prince of Zeal. That leads us then to consider third tonight, the practice of zeal. The practice of zeal. We need to realize zeal is not just some mystical inner warmth. We're not talking about some vague feeling that we're supposed to somehow seek or conjure up. Zeal has legs. Zeal acts. Think about the zeal in Christ's life. Jesus' zeal sent him to earth and then sent him to the cross. Zeal works itself out in real life. It has a plan and a pattern and a practice. It shows itself in decisive, diligent dedication to the Lord and his ways and his service. Think about it this way, and we talked about this in our middle school discussion group this morning, but if you have zeal for a certain hobby, if you have zeal for hunting, for example, then you have the equipment. You read the magazines. You shop the stores. You plan your trips. You carve out time. You talk about it. You share stories. You share pictures. You practice. You keep at it year after year. And even when you don't succeed, you do it again. You endure cold and heat and snow and rain and sleepless nights and exhaustion. And you love it. And you're zealous. And it shows. Well, in much the same way, Christian zeal, zeal for the Lord must work itself out in life, even greater ways, in tangible, practical ways. But what are those ways? How should we practice zeal? We could spend all night talking about this, but I want to highlight a few things. To start, we need to have zeal for the Lord. We don't have zeal for an idea or a concept. We have zeal for a person, God. We need to have zeal for him. He has had zeal for you. He has saved you. He gives you salvation and life. He gives us everything we have. So we need to be zealous to have a relationship with him, to know him, to love him and serve him. Zeal for God will mean zeal for his word, how he communicates to us. And so you read his word, you study it, you put yourself under it. You want to learn and know and receive it and believe. Look at Psalm 119, for example, to see what zeal for God and his word looks like. Verse 97 of that psalm says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Zeal for God also expresses itself in prayer. Zeal for God means zeal to worship him. That worshiping God is your highest priority and your joy. And you plan for it and you prepare for it. You look forward to it. Zeal for God doesn't just happen. If you think about how you might have the best intentions at the beginning of a new year to achieve new goals, if you don't put in the effort and the planning, if you don't prioritize, if you don't set aside time, it's not going to happen. Don't let that happen with your zeal for the Lord, for your relationship with him. We also need to have zeal for the truth. zeal for God's word, zeal for the gospel, zeal to know and do God's will. We need a zeal against sin. First and foremost, our own sin. It's easy to look out into the world and be zealous against all the sin that we see out there. But first and foremost, we need to see the log in our own eye. We need to not be lazy and nonchalant about sin, but fight it and seek to put it to death. We need to be zealous to be like Jesus Christ, conformed to him, sanctified. Zeal must also be practiced in our relationships with others, in service to others. Titus 2 again says that we are saved to be zealous for good works. And Christian zeal will find ways to do good, to seek first the kingdom, to serve the church. And that's a lot of what Romans 12 is all about. Members of the body fulfilling their unique roles, whether that's service, leadership, giving, meeting needs, showing hospitality. We need to show zeal towards others. Zeal is also practiced in a love for the lost, for those outside of the body of Christ, praying for their salvation, looking for opportunities to witness to them, to spread the gospel, having hearts that break for their lost condition outside of Christ. Zeal is an inner fervor, but it really does have an outward focus. It takes outward action. It seeks God and his glory. It serves his church. It tangibly loves and serves others. And zeal should work itself out in your daily work and callings as well. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 12 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Whatever God has called you to do, do it with zeal. Do it with all your might. You have something and someone to live for. You have reason to live and work with enthusiasm, with joy, whatever it might be that God has called you to. And so do it all to the Lord with zeal. And it's sad, but the world can often put us to shame in this. They can work with zeal just for earthly rewards, earthly bosses. They work with zeal for the weekends. And yet we have eternal riches and rewards. We work for God. And so friends, practice zeal. Pursue the Lord with zeal. Study him. Throw off sin. Seek to be like Christ with zeal. Love and serve others with zeal. Seek his kingdom with zeal. Pray with zeal. Work and live with zeal. God calls you to this. He has made you new in Christ for this. Well, to do all of that, we need to know that it is hard, that there's a cost. And so I want to consider fourth tonight the price of zeal. The price of zeal. Look again with me at verse 11. "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." It's easy to be slothful in zeal. It's easy to serve yourself. It is hard to serve the Lord. It is hard to serve the Lord with an ongoing zeal and fervor. And zeal is costly. There's a price. It takes time and effort. It can cost comfort and sleep. It can cost you your reputation, relationships. At times, it'll cost believers their job, their freedom, and at times, even their very life. It cost Jesus his life. It cost Eric Little a gold medal. It costs persecuted Christians so much. They pay a great price to zealously follow and serve the Lord. Zeal is sacrifice. And that's how Romans 12 starts. It starts by calling you to just that, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24 and following, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Following Christ with a zeal has a price. It calls for denying yourself, dying to yourself, following Christ by carrying a cross, putting sin to death, not living to gain the world, to save and live your life by and for yourself. Zeal for the Lord will mean living for eternity, looking past this world to the world to come. It means seeing with the eyes of faith. It means finding your identity in the Lord and belonging to Him, being His servant. And all of this the world will scoff at. The world will not understand. And you may have friends or family, co-workers that will see something of this zeal of the Lord in you, and they will see it as foolish. They will see it as such a waste of time and effort. And it may and it will at times cost you their respect and their friendship. But brothers and sisters, you know what life is all about. You know the grace of God. The gospel compels you. It fuels your life and your zeal. You can't help but live full out for the Lord, no matter the cost, no matter what the world might think. Zeal takes exertion, self-denial, suffering, discipline by the grace of God. There is a sense in which no pain, no gain is true in the Christian life. It's the same way in sports, and good coaches know this. A good coach can spot a lack of zeal very easily, a willingness, an unwillingness to pay the price. They know that means not playing to full potential. But that is all just for an earthly reward. We're in a far greater endeavor. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Friends, run that you may obtain the imperishable eternal prize. Have self-control, self-denial, and sacrifice. It is worth it. Romans 18, verse 8 says, "The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed." Jim Elliot understood this. He understood something of the price of zeal for the Lord. He was a missionary to a violent, unreached tribe in Ecuador, and he and four other missionaries were speared and killed as they were making initial contact with them. And Elliot had written in a journal long before words that read this way. He wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." He understood the price of zeal, and yet he also looked forward to the great reward. Friends, zeal is costly. It means giving up your life. Giving up your life for the Lord. But He laid down His life for you. Zeal will cost you. There is a great price, but there is also a great reward. And there is a great purpose. Zeal has an awesome focus and goal, an awesome point to it all. And that is, it is for the Lord and His glory. And I want us to consider that fifth and finally tonight, the point of zeal, or the purpose of zeal. Look one more time at verse 11 with me. "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit." And then these last three words, "serve the Lord." Serve the Lord. Paul ends this sentence saying literally, "the Lord serving." The Lord serving. The Lord, Kurios, the divine sovereign King of all. the Lord serving. And that's another present active word which calls for active, ongoing service of the King of Kings. And that is the point of your zeal. It is all about serving Him. And the word for serve or serving here is used for a slave or a servant. We need to remember that we belong to the Lord. We belong to the King. We are His property, His possession. He purchased you. He purchased your life, if you are in Him, from sin and death, from the grave, from hell. You were once a slave of sin and death, servant of self and Satan, but now you live and work in the King's house. You work for the Lord. You are to render that work, that service, with zeal for Him, with fervor, with loyalty to the King, with haste. The word zeal has to do with speed and effort and exertion. It's the opposite of slothfulness. Having a pep in your step. Having an eagerness. Which means when the King gives an order, when He makes a request, you respond with haste and urgency, with zeal. You give it your best. You take your orders from heaven's throne. You fulfill them with haste. No questions asked. You are His servant. Friends, the point of your zeal is the glory of the Lord, a service of the Lord. It's Him you are ultimately serving. It's for Him that you are to burn with zeal and practice your fervor and pay the price. People of God, here is more fuel for your zeal. And I want you to get this. You are serving the King of Kings. You are serving the Lord. That ought to be motive and excitement enough. You get to serve the one and only God, the one who has given you life and new life in Christ, your Savior, the Lord and Creator of all things. What a privilege. What a calling and responsibility. What reason never to be slothful in zeal. We get to serve the Lord. The point of all you do, all the zeal, all the labor, the sweat, the tears, is service to the King, extending His kingdom, seeking His honor, doing whatever it is He has called you to do with love and loyalty to Him and His throne, with all your heart, with all your might. Friends, have zeal because you belong to King Jesus. You are His freed slave. You are a servant of the crown, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this calls, yes, for all-out zeal. While you have breath, it calls for diligence and exertion, not half-hearted, lukewarm slothfulness. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." That is the point, the purpose of zeal, serving the Lord, King Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, serve Him. Serve Him now. Don't wait. Time is short. Serve Him with every breath and everything you do, with your gifts and your energy, your life, your mind, your heart, your resources, your time. Do it with a zeal for Him. You're on your way to His royal throne in heaven. And so serve Him all the way there with zeal, until you meet Him face to face one day soon, and He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You should live to hear those words, fixing your eyes on Him and on this great purpose of serving Him. Well, believe it or not, there is more to learn about zeal. But I hope this is just the beginning. Really, much more could be said, and I really want to challenge you not to forget the Lord has called you to today. And as we close, I want you to hear the words of Romans 12:11 once more. I'm sure you have them pressed into your minds and your hearts by now. I want you to hear them not from me, but from Jesus, your Lord, your King, your Savior, who zealously died to save you, who rose again, who now lives for you, who will come again. And as you hear these words and as you leave this place meditating on them, I want you to say and think in your heart, yes, Lord, amen. May it be, help me, let me glorify your name. So brothers and sisters, your Savior, your King says to each one of you, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this call from your word. We thank you that Christ perfectly practiced this for us, to save us from our sins, to make us like him, that we might be zealous for your glory, zealous to serve you. And so, Lord, transform us and conform us to him. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work out this zeal and this fervor in us for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We are so quick to be slothful in zeal. And so do a work in us for your name. We do pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.